take your Bible this morning, go over to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And I'm going to read one verse this morning, John chapter 19. And I want to preach this morning with a thought and a title on the actions of this king. You know, when Jesus came the first time, he came to be king. But he also came to be the Savior of the world. And he came to be the Messiah and that of the nation of Israel. And there's a lot of things I want to try to look at today, God being our helper. But in John chapter 19, I ask you to stand to your feet one more time. And it is such a joy to be here today and a joy to see you. I'm glad that you're here. I want you to know that. If you're visiting with us, I'm glad you're here. If you're a regular church member, I'm glad you're here today. And if you're an irregular church member, I'm glad you're here today. Amen. We're just glad to see everybody today. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. John chapter 19, look in verse 19. And the Bible says, "And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this good day that you've given us. And it's in Jesus' name that we come before you today, asking you to help while we might preach. And Lord, I pray that you would let all things that might be hindering this service to be put away today. I pray folk will be very attentive. And Lord, I know today's Easter, and folk may have a dinner to go to after a while, and they may have plans after a while. But Lord, don't let them focus on them right now. But Lord, for just the next little while, I pray that each of us might be able to focus on the Word of God and what you've gave us. And Lord, I pray today that you might preach us and give us an unction from the Holy One. Touch us and anoint us afresh. Lord, I'm not worthy to stand in this position that you've put me in. And Lord, I realize that today, what a great calling it is. And Lord, don't let me mess this up today, I beg of you. But let me preach and that with fire in myself this morning that's only given by you. And let me see the importance of this message. And Lord, that if there's somebody here lost, that they might get saved. If there's somebody that, Lord, is just struggling today, I pray they might find help, Lord, by your sweet Holy Spirit from the Word of God. And we'll give the glory for it all. Touch somebody this morning, help somebody, and save that sinner's nearest hell. For this in Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. We find in John 19, we find right here as Jesus is, not only has he been taken to Calvary, but prior to this he has been scourged, he has been mocked, and they've took him to Calvary. And one of the questions that was asked over and over and over again is, was he the king of the Jews? If you back up into chapter 18 and look in verse 33, as Jesus is before Pilate, the Bible said, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him," and here's the question he asked, he said, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Imagine as Pilate comes in, and you've got to realize that Pilate has been warned by his wife, have nothing to do with this just man. I mean, so his days already started out being warned that there's something different about this man called Jesus. There's no doubt that Pilate has heard stories, because as Jesus is shuffled from Pilate and then to Herod and then brought back, the Bible tells us that Herod was happy to see Jesus, hoping to see that he would do something in his presence, because he for a long time wanted to meet Jesus. And you know, when he got before Herod over there, Herod asking all kinds of questions, and Jesus just sat there and never said a word. And so I believe that kind of disappointed Herod, if you read your Bible. But when we come to this position, or this scripture here in verse 33, it says that when he come to the judgment hall again, the question that he asked, he said, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" In verse 34, Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of me?" Jesus said, "Have you perceived this of your own, or did somebody else tell you that I said I was the king of the Jews?" And in verse 35, Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." And Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" So he asked again, "Are you a king?" He said, "If you have a kingdom, are you a king?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." And then Jesus made this statement, "To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." And then the Bible goes on to talk about the truth right here. And Pilate wants to go ahead and release Jesus at this point. But I believe as we have a Gentile that is unsaved right here, and he is hearing about Jesus, and he's got to meet Jesus, and he's heard all the stories told about Jesus, he asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And then after he said, "I've got a kingdom," he did not ask him again, "Are you king of the Jews?" He said, "Then art thou a king?" And he was wanting to get what Jesus had to say. And I don't know how much Pilate really wanted to know who Jesus was, or if he just wanted this problem to go away, to get the Jews away from him. But nonetheless, he asked some questions that we got an answer to. And I believe right here we find out that Jesus was and is a king. He said, "To this end was I born." He was born to be king. I mean, you have to understand that. And listen, when we see here in a minute, we'll find out that he was prophesied to come. But when Jesus came from heaven, he came to be the king, but he was redeemed. You know, you're asking, some of you may be asking in yourself this morning, who is this man called Jesus? Is he a king? Is he the Savior of the world? Did he really die and rise again? You know, I tell you over and over and over again, sometimes we tell that story so much that, you know know it's the truth. We've believed it. We've trusted it. We've received Christ into our heart. He's changed our life and made a difference in us and put joy and happiness on the inside in the bleakest of times and in the darkest of times. Jesus still shines in my heart. Amen. And he'll do you the same way if you know him. And that's how I know he's alive and that he's real today. I don't know how we got off on all this, but ain't it good? Listen, if you don't know him today, then you don't know what it means to have happiness and joy down on the inside, amen, and to have peace and comfort like nothing that this world can give you today. Only Jesus can do that. You'll have to come to him. But when Jesus came from heaven, he came to be king, but he was rejected as king. John chapter 1 and verse 11, the Bible said that he came into his own and his own received him not. In John chapter 19, as Jesus was before Pilate and he had him before the Jews, but they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Today, for the lost world, they have no king but this world. And just like the Jews said, "We have no king but Caesar," let me ask you, who's your king today? Who's ruling and reigning in your life today? You know, a king is all sovereign. You know what that means? He has all power. A king has all power. He has all authority. And an absolute sovereign and an absolute king has absolute power. In other words, he makes the rules. He controls it all. And the thing about this king right here is not only does he control it all, but without his control, it would all fall apart today. You know, kingdoms change hands down through the years. But do you realize with this king right here that the world is in existence, like Brother Jeff talked about this morning, because of this king? This king reigns, listen, supreme today. Listen, God the Father is on the throne, and this king is going to receive his kingdom one day after a while. I'm going to deal with that today. I want to deal with the actions of this king. The Jews wanted a murderer received unto them and wanted to crucify Jesus. Now again, as much as I don't know how much Pilate really realized who Jesus was, but he made that inscription above his cross that said, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read, many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh unto the city, nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Pilate said, I'm not going to change it. They wanted it to say, he said, and I don't know how much Pilate really realized or how much he just wanted to gouge the Jews right there. I really don't know, but he couldn't have put a truer statement above Jesus at crucifixion. Can I say, number one, first of all, that he was the promised king. Very few kings down through the ages has been prophesied about. I thought about King Josiah. If you remember, there in one point, the prophet prophesied, said there would be a king by the name of Josiah that would come and tear down the altars, dig up the bones out of the tombs over there and burn them and throw them over there in the river, if I ain't mistaken. You'll find that even Cyrus, who was that Gentile king, was even prophesied of at one point. You remember what the Bible said about King Cyrus? God called him his servant, if I ain't mistaken. And it was going to be King Cyrus that was going to release Israel and let them go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the house of God. But let me say that Jesus was the greatest king that had ever been promised. In Matthew chapter 2, take your Bible and let's go back and look at this. And during the time of his birth, Matthew chapter 2, look in verse 1. And the Bible says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Well, they knew something, didn't they? Them wise men out of the east, somebody had told them, they had read something, they knew something about astrology, they knew something that star that was up in the air, it didn't belong there. And they knew that star was going to point them to the king. Who'd they look for? Who'd they look for? They didn't come looking for the Messiah, although he's wrapped up into that. They didn't come looking for a man by the name of Jesus Christ, although that's his name. Notice who they come looking for. King of the Jews. Do you realize that they didn't have a king at that time? They were under Roman control. They were ruled by Rome. And here comes three wise men. Here comes some wise men looking for who? King of the Jews. Now look what they said. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to what? Worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And when they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thee the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. You go over and you look, I believe it is it in the book of Malachi, and you find that prophecy that was given. Bethlehem of Judah. Bethlehem of Judea is where he was to be born at. So see, Scripture told us he was coming. Luke chapter 1, when Gabriel met with Mary over there, you remember what he told her? And thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. He was prophesied to be king. The Bible tells us that Mary seen all these things and she experienced all these things. And when those shepherds come over there that had seen the angels up in the air that had declared Jesus was born that morning, and they come in and they worshiped him, the Bible says that she kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. She had a lot to ponder, didn't she? Here the angel Gabriel told her that he is the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, but yet he's going to be King of the Jews. About 2 years later, here comes the wise men in after they seen the star up there, and they come in and they bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh and many gifts, and they worship him as King of the Jews. This little 2 year old boy, he's being worshiped King of the Jews. This king was a little different, wasn't he? He wasn't raised in a palace, was he? As a matter of fact, we understand and know that his father was a carpenter. And so I would dare say, or his earthly father was a carpenter, and he was raised in a carpenter shop. And there's a lot to preach on there about how he could build and that he could make, and no doubt he knew the trade. Jesus was the promised king and the prophesied king, and when he came, though, he knew that he was going to be rejected. You know, if you look through many of the parables in the four Gospels, the Lord talks about at times, he talks about that there was a king that went to receive a kingdom. At one time, he talks about a king that went to receive a kingdom, and he left his servants 10 talents and told them to occupy till I come. And then the next verse said, but his citizens hated him and would not have him rule over them. What's that mean? He was talking about Israel right there. He came to be Israel's king. He came in that to rule over them, but they would not have him. You ever are you with me this morning? You staying with me? All right. Just making sure we're all together today. When Jesus came, he came to be king. Let me ask you something. When you received Christ into your life, have you made him king of your life? You know, somebody used to say, if he's not king at all, Lord at all, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Well, that might not be true. But I'm going to tell you something. Until you give up, he's not going to be king in your life. You've got to allow him to be king. They had to allow him to be king. Now, those coming today, and I'll get there in a minute, and it don't matter what they allow or don't allow, he's going to be king. Now, we'll get there in a minute. But listen, when he came, he was the promised king, but yet they didn't want him to be king. He didn't come like they wanted him to come. He didn't do what they wanted him to do. They wanted to be, even his disciples wanted to be out from under Roman rule. You remember even when he got ready to go back and that to heaven, you remember what his disciples asked him over there on the Mount of Olives? They said, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom again unto Israel? They wanted out from under Roman rule. That's what everybody wanted. They wanted out. They were looking for a king that would come in and just take over and just rule and get them free from Rome. And if they would have only known what Jesus could do, he could have made them free. Can I tell you today, if you've never trusted him, if you would only know what Jesus could do for you, he could make you free today. If you're lost without him, Jesus wants to save you. Jesus wants to save you. Now, as I read this, I thought about some of those that did know. If you remember, there was a man by the name of Simeon who God had directed down to the temple that day as he was coming in. And those 2 turtle doves was going to be offered in that for him according to the law. And Simeon was waiting on him. And I believe Anna lived over there too in the temple, it tells us. Nathanael in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, when Nathanael, when Jesus called Nathanael and he told him that he knew him, he said, when have you seen me? He said, I've seen you sitting under the tree over there. But you know what Nathanael said about Jesus when Jesus called him in John chapter 1? Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, which means teacher. Then he said this, thou art the Son of God. That's a pretty big statement. He's went from rabbi, which means teacher, to the Son of God. Well, that's a big statement right there. I mean, he came from heaven. That's where God's at. And he said, you're the Son of God. And then he said this, thou art the King of Israel. I'm telling you, boy, Nathanael loaded him down with who he was, didn't he? I mean, Nathanael had him. What is Jesus to you today? What is it? You know, to Nathanael, he knew who he was. He knew what he was. He knew he was teacher. He knew that he was the Son of God. He knew that he was King of Israel. Well, what is he to you? Is he Savior? Is he God? Is he Lord? Is he King? What is he today? Or is he just a spare tire? Listen to me. Some of you have got a spare tire Jesus. You don't get him out till something bad happens. You don't think about serving him till something bad happens. Right? Some of you are that way today. You don't give consideration to Jesus until something bad happens. That's when you get a spare tire out, ain't it? You don't consider that spare tire. I don't. I never crawl up under my truck and make sure that there's air in it. I just always assume there'll be air in it. I'll always assume that something ain't jumped up there and punctured it. I don't know who'd want to steal a spare tire, but I just always assume that it'll be there. He knew who he was. Do you know who he is today? I'm talking about the actions of this king. He came as the promised king and the prophesied king. But number two, he come as the propitiatory king. Now what's that mean? Propitiation means one that appeases the wrath of an offended person. You know, most of the time a king is not propitiatory, if I can use that word. And by the way, that is a word. I looked it up. My wife says, you preachers make up words all the time. I didn't make it up. It's in the dictionary. I promise you, I looked it up. It means appeasing the wrath of an offended person. You know, most of the time, it's the king who's offended. You know, go read the book of Proverbs. It talks about offended kings over there. You know, their wrath is harder to appease than anybody's. Talks about, you know, if a lion gets tore up, you know, and if he gets offended at you, he's going to come and tear you up a lion with. We've got a little old cat in our house, and she's probably about 14 pounds and got a little bit of the devil in her. And my wife would say she's got a whole lot of the devil in her. I'll give her credit with just a little bit. But she's the easiest offended thing I've ever seen in my life. You can offend her so easy. And she wants to tell you about it when, you know, she's got cat in her. Now she's a cat. And, you know, lions, they're the same way. They got cat in them, don't they? And you offend them, y'all's catching on, ain't you, huh? You know what he is, the Lord? Was he not the Lion of the tribe of Judah? You know the problem with a lost person is they've offended God by being a sinner. Read Romans 8 over there. Read Romans 8, how that we're carnal and in the flesh. And listen, simply because we were born into sin and simply because we were born in the flesh that we're in, you've offended God. I offended God by being a sinner. But you know this, the promised king and the prophesied king, he came to be the propitiatory king. In other words, he came to appease God in heaven. You ever think about when they took Jesus before Pilate? Now think about this for just a second. You know, how did he come into Jerusalem? Take your Bible and go look in John chapter 12. You ever think about how Jesus came into Jerusalem that day before he was crucified? John chapter 12, look in verse 12. And on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the, who? King of Israel, that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they these things that were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. How did Jesus come in to Jerusalem? He came into Jerusalem, first of all, with people declaring him to be the king of Israel. They took palm leaves and laid before him as he rode. You know, you never find Jesus riding anywhere. Think about that for just a second. I'm not saying he didn't, but we never find really where Jesus rode on anything. He always walked everywhere, didn't he? But yet when he came into Jerusalem, he's got this little donkey over here that he rides into Jerusalem on. You ever think about why he rode that little donkey? Well, the Bible tells us right there. If you go back to the book of Zechariah, you'll find out that it said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." He come in and that lowly. They're crying, "King of Israel." They're crying, "Hosanna." And he's come riding in this little old donkey. Most of us don't think about a king riding on donkey, do we? But you know how Jesus, the propitiatory king, come into town that day? Just as lowly could be. Just as humble could be. You know how you're going to have to come to the propitiatory king? You're going to have to come to him lowly and humble and cry out, "He's my king." Do you realize that today, friend? Do you realize that he come in? I mean, he was the prophesied king. He was the promised king. But he's the propitiatory king because here he comes. He come in lowly. But not only did he come in lowly how he came to Jerusalem, but notice what he had when he got there. You know, as Jesus come into town, he didn't have much. They had to go get a place and make preparation for the Passover. He didn't have a place of his own. The Bible tells us that he said at one time, "The birds of the air have a nest and the foxes have the holding." But he said, "But the Son of Man had not where to lay his head." Jesus didn't have nothing. And so he comes to town riding on this little old borrowed colt. You know, if you read the story about that, and here's the great thing about the Lord. He told his disciples, he said, "Go into this certain town, and when you get there, you'll find this little old donkey over here. You'll find it tied up over here." And said, "You just go ahead and untie it and bring it with you." You say, "The Lord's stealing." He wasn't stealing. He said, "But when the owner of that thing asks you what you're doing with that," he said, "you tell him that the Lord hath need of it." And so when the master came and said, "What are you doing with my donkey?" He said, "The Lord hath need of it." How many of you would go out and somebody was stealing your car and they get it started and going to drive off with it and you say, "What's going on?" And they look at you and say, "The Lord hath need of it." Lord really hath talked to me about that. Can I tell you that He knew why he was coming to Jerusalem. He knew why he was coming. He wasn't coming to be crowned king that day. He was coming to die for your sin and my sins. That's what Jesus was coming for. So by the time he gets into town and they have the Passover, they celebrate the Passover, Judas betrays him, they come and get him over in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they bring him and they try him and they smote on him and they had him blindfolded at one time and they spit on him. Peter has denied him. Everybody has left him except John and that little band of women over there. And so as he is brought before Pilate and shuffled to Herod and brought back to Pilate, we find that when he was before Herod, they give him the apparel of a king. If you go read the story of when they brought him to Herod, you'll find that they put a purple robe on him. As a matter of fact, if you read the text that we were in, the text chapter, you'll find out that it just tells us that the Roman soldiers done that. It said the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and they put on him a purple robe. Can I tell you that Jesus was dressed like a king? But yet they mocked him with that purple robe. Now I'm talking about the man who saved your soul today, if you're saved. I'm talking about the man who come to be king, but they wouldn't let him be king. Not only did he have a purple robe and they mocked him, but they put a crown on his head. So I can imagine as Jesus has got a purple robe on, they took that coat that had been sewn and wove in one piece, they took it off and put that purple robe on him and then they put a crown on his head and declared him to be king. But yet that crown was a crown of thorns, the Bible tells us. Jesus has got the apparel of a king. They gave him a scepter and put it in his hand. And it was by that scepter that he ruled with that scepter. If you go back and you look in the book of Esther, the king, if he raised that scepter, then you could come in. But if he did not, then they would take you and kill you. That scepter in the hand and that entitled power. You say it was just a stick. It's what it represented, you see. So Jesus has the apparel of a king, even though that they have mocked him and spit on him and made fun of him. Here this man is, who was promised to be king, came to be king, but they rejected him as king. And here it is, it's not only did they reject him to be king, but they was going to kill him. And so here he's got a purple robe on. He's got a crown of thorns on his head and a scepter in his hand. You know what they've done with that scepter, with that stick? They took that stick away from him, them Roman soldiers did, and they took it and they beat that crown of thorns down into his head. Some king, ain't it? It thrills my heart, overjoys my heart, that Jesus done that. I always look at a cross and I'm reminded of Calvary. That right there is where my sin got took care of. Jesus suffered as the propitiatory king. He had praise as a king would have. Remember, they come out there and the Bible said in verse 3 of John 19, and here's what they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." But yet it was mockery. They made fun of him. So he's got the apparel of a king. He's got the praise of a king. And he's got the place of a king. Because they took him up there to Mount Calvary, and they lifted him up just like a king is lifted up. When the king sits on his throne, there's none higher than the king. You remember what Pharaoh told Joseph over there? He said, "Only in my throne will I be greater than you." That's what he told him. It's on the throne that the king is higher than everybody else. Do you realize that it was at Calvary, after they dressed him as a king, they praised him as a king, then they lifted him up as the king. They didn't know what they were doing, did they? You remember what Pilate wrote on his cross over there, that sign? What did he write? He said, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." They even gave him a sign at his throne at Calvary. I'm so glad that Jesus, the Bible said in John chapter 12, he said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And this he said, signifying the death that he should die. Don't you love Jesus this morning? Do y'all understand that he was the promised king and the prophesied king? But he came to be lowly for me and you today. Even in his death, even in his death, I can see the portrayal of his kingship. You know what the king of England, I believe it was the king of England, it might have been France, I can't remember which one of them said this, but they wrote to George Washington as he had served as president, and I don't remember the exact words it was, but they talked about if he gave up his presidency, then that would make him a very big man. You know, kings don't give up authority and sovereignty. Kings don't give that up. But do you realize at Calvary that Jesus gave his all for us? He gave up being king. He gave up the glory that heaven provided. He gave up it all to come down here for me and you so that we could get saved. The king became the sacrifice. I thought about John chapter 10 where he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, the shepherd don't give his life for the sheep. It's always the other way around. The sheep give their self for the shepherd. But that day, the shepherd gave himself for the sheep. Ain't that something? Boy, Calvary. I love Calvary. I love to sing songs about Calvary. Love to sing about Calvary. I love to sing that old song, The Old Rugged Cross. I love that old song because there's where my sin. I'm going to tell you what, when you ever realize you're a sinner and you're standing before God who is just and sovereign and has all authority and He's going to judge you in your sin and you realize He sent His Son to die for you and you don't have to die and go to hell, hey, it'll do something to you, friend. Remember where you was when Jesus found you. Maybe today that Jesus found you right here sitting in this church house needing to get saved. Where did He find you at? You remember the conviction that come in your heart? Remember that you realize you is lost and undone without Him? I remember that. Number three, He was the propitiatory King. He took our place. I've not known too many kings to take the place of their servants. To go to the chopping block, if you'd let me say that, to die for them. But then number three, He's an all-powerful King. There is coming a day when He's going to be King. You realize that they did take Him to Calvary and He did die. And what we celebrate today is the very fact that He is alive. 3 days later, He got up out of the tomb and that of His own power. What did He say in John 10? I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He has all power. Romans 8, I believe it is, tells us over there, if that same Spirit dwells in us that dwelled in Christ, we'll get up too. Amen. I like that. I like to know that the Holy Spirit is inside of me. But it's of His own power that He rose. Take your Bible and go to Revelations 19. I'm going to get ready to close. In Revelations chapter 19, I want you to look in verse 11. I'm talking about the all-powerful King. You know, when Jesus comes again, He's not coming as the lowly that sat on that little donkey over there. He's not coming that way. No, sir, no, ma'am. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat up on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. Uh-oh. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The next time He comes, you see, He's seated on the right hand of the Father right now. Daniel saw, in the book of Daniel, he saw the kingdoms of time down through a time, down through a quick vision, if you let me say that, the head of gold and silver and brass, and then he seen them 10 toes that was iron and clay mixed together. But then you know what he saw? He saw a kingdom over there cut out of the mountain, out of the stone without hands. And it talks about how that the Lord come to the Ancient of Days and received a kingdom. You know, the Lord goes to the Lord to receive a kingdom. It's kind of like in the book of Genesis over there when it said, let us go make man in our own image. Who was us? Surely you know who us was, don't you? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We see all that present in Genesis chapter 1, don't we? Huh? And God said, so we see God is present. Let there be light. Wasn't no sun or moon at that time, by the way. He didn't create that till further on in Genesis 1. And he said, let there be light. Who is the light of the world? I believe Jesus was present. And he said, the Spirit of God moved upon the deep. And I believe we see the Holy Spirit all present at creation. But notice right here, the all-powerful King. You know, when he comes again, he's not coming lowly, but he's coming as King. Notice how he come right here. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. You a white horse rider? Sure enough. I don't know. I ain't been on a horse since I was a boy. But I think we'll have it all right. Amen. I think we'll have it just fine. Notice how Jesus is coming this time. He's not coming lowly. He's riding the white horse. He's coming in all power and in all authority and in all judgment. That's how he's coming. You know, before he come in love and mercy and tenderness. But friend, this time there'll be no remedy. He come the first time to give a remedy. The next time he comes, he's coming to judge sin and judge sinners. You say, how do you know that? If you look in the end of verse 11, it said, in righteousness he does what? Judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. That flame is, he is piercing and he is judging everything. You know, he's not coming with people that's going to lay down palm leaves and cry, Hosanna, the King of Israel. He's coming this time leading out in the front with his army in tow behind him. You remember what he told Pilate over there? He said, if my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight. You know, there's coming a day that's going to happen. Ain't going to be much of a fight, but that's what's going to happen. Because the Bible says that what? There's going to be a sharp sword that goes out of his mouth, and it said that he should smite the nations. And I understand the doctrinal issue of all this and Armageddon and what's coming at the end. I understand all that. And the end of the tribulation period. And it says that he's going to rule them with a rod of iron. You know, the first time Jesus came, he didn't come to rule. He came to receive men and women. But this time, when he comes the next time, he's coming to rule. He's coming to rule. You know, when you know all that prophecy that the angel Gabriel told Mary over there, and he shall set upon his father David's throne, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Going to happen. He'll be dressed as a king. Hey, look what it says right here. Notice what it, let me see if I can find it right here in verse 12. It said, and on his head were many crowns. Just not one crown, many crowns. He's king, man. He's coming to rule, he's coming to reign, and he's coming to judge. You say, I don't believe that. I believe that Jesus is a merciful God and a forgiver. He is right now. But you know, there comes a time when kings had enough. Kings had enough. And he says, all right, here's what I'm going to do. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you don't believe me, you can go over and look. But verse 7. Here's what the Apostle Paul told the church at Thessalonica. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the gospel? The death, the burial, and resurrection. And the Bible tells us over there that if you'll believe that and ask him to save you, he'll save you. Have you done that? Have you asked Jesus to save you? Have you believed in your heart and trusted him? If you have not, it said he's going to take vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. You know what? When they took him to Calvary, they didn't admire him, did they? As a matter of fact, if you go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, it says he was esteemed and stricken of men. they didn't want to have nothing to do with him in Isaiah chapter 53. When they took him and hung him up and lifted him up at Calvary as a propitiatory king, they didn't want to have nothing to do with him. But this day, he'll be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day, Paul said. He's coming. He'll have a throne. If you read chapter 20 and chapter 21 of the book of the Revelation, you'll find out that he's going to have a throne where he's going to rule with his saints. He'll have a throne. It won't be at Calvary this time. He'll have a throne. He'll have his father David's throne. Now, church, I'll be honest with you. I think he'll have a literal throne. David had a literal throne. Solomon had a literal throne. I believe Christ Jesus the Lord will have a literal throne over in Jerusalem one day after a while. But I do know this. Whether that throne that it's talking about in chapter 20 is the throne that is in glory or here upon the earth, I do know that the end of chapter 20 tells us that there is a great white throne. And him that sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How are you going to stand before him? Number four, last of all, he's a personal king. Is he your personal king? How are you going to meet him one day? I've already met him as that propitiatory king. He took my place. If you don't meet him as that propitiatory king and make him a personal king in your life, you know what's going to happen? You're going to meet him as that all-powerful king one day. And he's going to judge you in your sin. Let's bow our heads this morning. As we come and get a verse of invitation, Brother Marvin, come to the piano. Brother Jeff, let's get a verse this morning. The King of Glory. Do you know him today? I hope you know him. I hope you know him. Because you're going to meet him one day. Whether you intend to meet him or not, you're going to meet this king. You know what? I may never meet another ruling monarch in my whole life. I may never meet a king. I've never met a king as far as I know other than Christ Jesus the Lord. I met him a long time ago. Have you ever met him? Have you ever met the king that went to Calvary and died for you, took your place? Are you waiting to meet him as the all-powerful one? And let him condemn you into an eternal lake of fire. Friend, you need to meet him today as the one that loves you and died for you and wants to save you. Church, he took our place. You ought to be excited about that this morning, willing to live for him and give your all for him. I should want to give my all for him. He died for me. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, I pray you'll help in this invitation. Save somebody that might be lost. Encourage somebody that needs help. For all this, in Jesus' name.